There's not God and the devil, and then there's me. No, you can't just, you're either hooked to one or the other. You're either hooked to one or the other with your mouth. You're hooked to one or the other with your mind. You're hooked to one or the other in your actions. You're hooked to one or another in the decisions you make. You're hooked to one or the other eternally.
Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland all this week for a Believer's Voice of Victory special. Learn about the powerful connection between the blessing and the covenant of partnership.
What is the first thing the thief stole? The blessing. That's what he was after. Why? That controlled everything. Yes. Amen? Yes. That controlled it all. That's what he was after, was that blessing. But when he got his hands on it, it was no longer a blessing, it was a curse. Yes. All the curse, all the death, everything that came upon this entire planet came out of one man. It didn't come out of the devil. It came out of Adam. It was faith turned to fear. Love turned to hate. The blessing turned to curse. Life turned to death. Why? Because the moment he disobeyed, the moment he violated God's word, it separated him from God, but he kept, no human being can just stand there in the middle. There's not God and the devil, and then there's me. No, you can't just, you're either hooked to one or the other. You're either hooked to one or the other with your mouth. You're hooked to one or the other with your mind. You're hooked to one or the other in your actions. You're hooked to one another in the decisions you make. You're hooked to one or the other eternally. Only you can make the choice. God won't make it for you, and the Satan doesn't have the authority. He'll try to pressure you into those choices. Amen. So now we see God making his move to what? Get his will back into operation in this earth. Get that blessing back. And it went through several different people before it got to Abraham. What was the requirement that made Abraham stand out? He would teach his children. Didn't he say the same thing to Noah? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Every man has subdued it and have dominion over. He said exactly the same words. Well, he walked in it for a while, didn't he? Who messed it up? His kids. They didn't flow in it. Who messed it up where Job's blessing was concerned? Do you remember what Satan said to God? Now, this is real insight. That's the reason the book of Job is in there, is to give us insight. And, of course, by misunderstanding it and religiousizing the thing, we said, well, you know, God brought all this on Job to teach him something. That's one of the biggest lies that's ever been perpetrated on human beings, and nobody believes it anywhere but church. Yeah. That's like my grandfather said one time, that's just a hell of a thing to believe. And that's what it is. That's where it came from. Came out of hell. Didn't come out of the book, came out of hell. And you have to take the book of Job, take little pieces of it here and there, twist it around, make it fit your doctrine, and then you can go on with it, you know. And you can preach on poor Job's turkey. There wasn't ever anything poor about Job. He was the richest man in the East. And when he got through this thing in about 9 months period, that whole thing lasted less than a year. And when he got through with it, he was twice as rich as he was. And he went into it. If he had any turkeys, they were the best ones in the whole wide world.
Amen.
Now, Satan said to God, and you have to understand that this time he possessed the threat of death. He had authority of death. Where is that authority now? In the authority of your tongue.
Yeah.
Good preaching.
So, he came up before God. There was only one sin involved in this whole thing. Satan was trying his best to steal Job's fortune. Why? Well, he controlled the whole East. He was the wealthiest man in the East. Well, the wealthiest man in the East has got to be the most influential man in the East. And here you've got a man with a healing ministry. You have a man with a preaching encouragement ministry. You have a man that is in everything from cattle to gold to land. I mean, this man is controlling commerce. He's controlling the cattle market. He's controlling it all, and he's doing it with the blessing. God has a lot to say in those days through this man. So Satan is out to get his fortune, and if he can get his money, if he can break that blessing down and steal all that, then what happens? Then he controls the wealth, he controls the people, not with faith, but with fear. Would you like me to give you a picture of it? Read your paper.
Yeah, that's right.
It's in the same country. Now, what was the sin he's after? Curse God. He made a lot of mistakes, but he made them through ignorance. The sin that Satan is after was to curse God. He was afraid his children were going to curse God. And they did. His wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" So the devil got into her thinking, didn't he? Can you see what's going on here? And God said, in all of this, Job did not sin or charge God foolishly. Well, he did a lot of stuff that if I did, it had been a sin. But he wasn't operating under the new covenant. He wasn't operating under any under the kind of knowledge of faith and love and all of these things that you and I have available to us in the New Testament. You understand that? But the one sin that Satan was after, he refused to commit it even if he died.
Yeah.
And at first he thought it was God trying to kill him. Where have you heard that? And people preached that because Job said, "God giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now don't miss what he said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See what I said? Blessed. Not blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He understood about the blessing. That's all they knew. It was a blessing of Abraham. Now, yes, the Bible said that because it quoted Job. But what Job said wasn't true. And God said it wasn't true. It was not God that took it away from him. The devil did. God, I mean, he tried to get God to do it. He said, "Has Job served you for nothing? Have you not blessed him and built a hedge around him?"
Yeah.
That's the reason I don't use the word hedge around me. I ain't gonna quote the devil.
That's right.
He's built a wall around me. I have a wall. The secret place of the Most High God is the blessing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Satan can't get in there.
Amen.
You live in the secret place, he seeks whom he may devour. You in the secret place, he can't find you. It's when you step out of there in doubt, unbelief, and unforgiveness or whatever else, you get out there on his territory, now you're outside your place of protection. I'm telling you, he'll spank you. You need to repent and run. You get back in there as fast as you can. Now, I'm bringing you very carefully here, step by step. So the thief cometh but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now then, Satan said, you put your hand against him, he'll curse you to your face. That's what it was all about. God said, no. He didn't say this, but I read it in there. He said, I blessed him. Now, how do I know? Where can I get that? Because I found in another place in the Bible when it said, you can't curse those God has blessed. Not if they'll walk in that blessing. The only way you can curse somebody that's been blessed is for them to get out of the blessing and start talking the curse.
Yeah, come on.
You get over on the curse side of things. And then the old curser himself will do his best to take you out, see, or steal what you got. If he can't get his hands on it, he'll try to kill you. If he can't kill you, he'll try to destroy you.
Yeah.
If he can't destroy you, he won't let you alone. He'll never come to the place where he'll let you alone, but there is a place where he can't get to you.
Yeah.
See, he's still trying. It isn't that he's letting you alone.
Yeah.
No. Why? Because that's the way he is. And he is the spirit of fear. So so fear will connect you to the spirit of fear, and faith will connect you to the spirit of faith.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries Prayer Department receives over 11,000 calls each week. Every call represents a person in need of prayer who knows that we're here for them. KCM prayer ministers are changing lives, one prayer at a time. One aspect of our prayer ministry is our outbound phone calls made to people who've sent in letters or emails requesting prayer. We also call during times of disaster, like when Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast.
We were, for most of the people that I called, the very first people that they heard from. I remember talking to a lady that was standing knee-deep in water, and her cell phone had not been able to work for 4 days. Our call got through to her. We were able to help them to get out of there. We wired them money. We sent them books and tapes and stuff to somebody else's house, got them out of Louisiana into another state. And it was about probably like 2 or 3 months ago that I got a letter from her. She sent it to the ministry. They gave me a copy saying, thank you. You guys were the first ones to reach us. That's awesome.
I came home, and there was a message from Mr. Sam Galloway, and it was just an anointed message. He had an anointing for me, and it was, good morning, this is Sam from KCM, and he was upbeat and full of the word, and it was the voice of God coming on this answer machine. It was wonderful, and he told me he was standing on Psalm 91 for Walt's safety. And I listen to that message every day.
When you're over there in Iraq, most people may think that soldiers think about the war, but I can tell you that mostly what we think about is our families back home and what's going on with them. So when we heard the support that she was getting from KCM, it was really a great blessing, big load off my shoulders, knowing that she was talking to you guys back here.
Partnership means family. There's been times when we were surprised, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries called us, you know, and spoke to us on the phone and said, are you all right? We had an earthquake in California. They called us and said, are you okay, you know?
All the work that the Kenneth Copeland Ministry is doing around the world, I am a part of it.
For over 40 years, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has taken God's message of love and faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around, reaching out to millions of people in real ways, ways that have changed their lives. Kenneth Copeland Ministries cares about you. We desire for you to know what partnership really means. As our gift to you, all new partners will receive an interactive study guide, an audio teaching of the anointing and partnership, and covenant promises, a recording of scriptural prayers and confessions that Kenneth and Gloria Copeland pray over their partners daily. you'll receive in-depth insight into the ministry of the Apostle Paul and what Kenneth Copeland learned at an Oral Roberts tent crusade that opened his eyes to the power of partnership. Plus, you'll receive a DVD entitled We're Here For You that covers the various KCM ministry outreaches. The time for change has come. Real people, real relationships, real life. Kenneth Copeland Ministries, we're here for you. To become a partner with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, log on to our website at kcm.org and request your free new partner package. To order your copy by phone, call us at 800-575-4455. Or you may write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. We want to help you find the answers you need in God's Word and live a victorious life. Become a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries today. Together, we can make a difference.
My name is J.J. Musgrove, and this is my wife, Renee. And I am actually an associate pastor at Faith Church in Edmond. We have two children. We have Grant, he is 8, and our daughter, Destiny, she's 5, getting ready to turn 6.
And let's talk about what happened to you 2 years ago with your son.
Our son at the time was 6 years of age, and he was just complaining of a headache and just had a low-grade fever. So I was giving him ibuprofen, and we prayed over him and just said, "Oh, you're going to be fine." And the next day, same complaint. And for 3 or 4 days, this went on. And
we obviously prayed, as we always do. We always, pray first. We're not opposed to doctors, but we prayed, and that continued for a few days. And then I'd come home, and he would be going around and have a sweatshirt and a blanket.
J.J. and Renee Musgrove called upon a doctor who is a family friend and a member of their church. He was working a shift at a local hospital and agreed that Grant's condition should be diligently monitored. As his symptoms became more serious, the believers gathered to stand and pray for Grant's healing. And Renee made one more call to the hospital.
And Dr. Moore said, "Does he have a rash on his chest?" I said, I don't know. He's got on a hooded sweatshirt. And so I pulled his shirt up and looked. And sure enough, he had all these little red bumps all over his chest. And I said, "Yeah, he does." And he said, "Bring him to the hospital now." JJ carries him into the hospital, and our doctor friend is waiting for us, and he calls us back into the emergency room, and they put him on one of the beds in the emergency room and start running, all the tests and doing all the things. And he said, I want to do a spinal tap on him. After the spinal tap, they laid him back down, and, he slowly starts coming out of the sedation.
He said, "Dad, I feel good." His back was a little sore, obviously. He just had some needles stuck in it, but the fever was gone.
So I raised his hospital gown at that point, and the rash was all gone. And we thought, praise God, we've just seen a miracle here. God's just totally healed him.
The Dr. Lloyd came back in, and he said, "I'm shocked." He said, with the way he's recovering, I thought maybe there was some kind of mistake. He said, "But there's no mistake. He's got it." He said, "He's got it bad."
And I said, "He's got what?" And he said, "Meningitis. He's got it."
The only meningitis we really knew about at that time was, spinal meningitis. And he said, no, it's not that. He said, it's the kind of meningitis, if it goes unchecked and untreated, it could cause all kinds of different issues.
They needed 3 to 5 days, they figured he would end up being hospitalized, to determine what kind of meningitis it really was. And they immediately began treating him and the rest of us as though it was bacterial. They immediately
quarantined
began with
him.
Yeah, they quarantined us completely.
When you received that diagnosis, which is not what you were praying for, it was not what you were seeing, did you have to tell yourselves, "I will not get in fear"? How did you respond when you heard those words come out of the doctor's mouth?
When we very first heard that, we were a little bit surprised, but immediately our next reaction was after that was we laughed. We literally laughed and said, devil, you're not doing this. We are not accepting that. It's already been established. We know what the Word of God says. We're not receiving that. And so it was total peace. Grant obviously had to spend the night, but we stayed with him, and we were cutting up and laughing and praising God. And we said, we determined from the beginning how this is going to turn out, and we refused to receive anything else. The Word of God is the final authority, and we believe what the Word of God says, not what symptoms look like. If it's what you see in the natural, it's subject to change.
As J.J. and Renee worked together to turn the hours in the hospital room into an adventure for their son, They continued to praise God for his healing. The next afternoon, less than 24 hours from the diagnosis, the doctor delivered the words they had been waiting to hear.
He said, "There's nothing wrong with this child." He said, "I'm going to release him." He said, "He's got no symptoms of meningitis. He's up walking around. He seems to be perfectly healthy." He said, "I'm going to go ahead and release you guys." And the Lord just showed me his absolute faithfulness, that the symptoms were there and the symptoms were real. The hospital staff acknowledged this is real. It's not just, you know, mom and dad not really knowing anything, thinking their kid's sick, but it was legitimate. It was real. But even before the lab could test the spinal fluid to deliver the results, from the time the spinal fluid was removed from his body to the time that they got the test results back, God miraculously healed him, took away every symptom and everything.
I'm telling you, it matters where you go to church. It matters what ministries you're connected to. It matters the people you're in partnership with, because when you come to a time of crisis, there's a lot of well-meaning people that love Jesus and God loves them when they're going to heaven, but they don't know how to stand on the Word and believe God. They're not people that you can call and they'll stand with you and they'll encourage you. You know, when your child's going through a crisis, you don't need people feeling sorry for you and giving you sympathy. That doesn't help anything. What you need is people that'll stand with you and say, "You know what, we're going to believe God with you. God's Word says this," and they'll encourage you and they'll strengthen you and they'll pray with you. We've been partners with Kenneth Copeland Ministries for a number of years. They're awesome as far as, I mean, I'm praying for their partners, and I do believe that in Covenant there is a supernatural connection that you get connected to.
I have just realized more and more that as much as I love my children, they're God's first. And He loves them more than I do. And as much as I want Him to show Himself faithful to them, He wants to do that even more. JJ and I have made the decision in our lives, no matter what comes our way, we're going to stand on the Word of God. And we know if we continue to stand on the Word of God as His child, we will be victorious. And the only way that you cannot be victorious is to get off of His Word and to give up.
So don't give up, don't faint, don't quit. God's faithful. Keep standing.
Aren't you glad that little Grant Musgrove was healed? Praise God. That old meningitis, that is a mean killing disease. It maims people, blinds them. They lose legs and arms. And our granddaughter Lindsay was healed from that. And there were children in that hospital that were just devastated by it. And when we moved in there to minister to Lindsay, now this is the reason why it matters where you go to church. When we moved in there, of course, George and Terry, who pastor the church, and all of our family and a whole church team of praying ministers, and we all went in there and set up camp in that waiting room out there, because there was parents just sitting out there just being devastated by bad news. Man, we went to work.
And it's a disease where he could have been dead by the next morning instead of healed by the next morning.
When you got a church like the Musgroves, when you're connected, and this ministry and their ministry is all connected together, we're all pulling, going in the same direction together. Praise God, that's so strong, Gloria. There were people in that hospital got saved and all kinds of things. Why? Because this church team moved in there.
They're a good, vitally,
mighty, vital. It is a vital matter, praise God, where you go to church.
You have to do it right.
You need to know how to pray. The Word
is such a
vital, important thing. This anointing and the blessing of God. Now, it's just like we've been teaching all this week about walking and living in the blessing. God is faithful to His Word. And it was His original design that the entire planet, the entire human race forever, walk in the power of His glory, which is His blessing. Praise God. Now, Gloria and I would love to invite you to become partners with us, and I want you to pray about it. We want to send you this partnership package that will... There is one CD in there on the covenant promises. These are the prayers and, and scriptures that we pray over our partners, and then a CD on the anointing in partnership, which is an in-depth teaching on that, and then the study guide that you can study along with these, and your Bible. Now, your Bible is the most important study guide you've got. So that's number one. But this will help you go through the Bible. It's not enough for you to say, well, it's what Ken and Gloria said. No, it's what the Word of God says about it. Hallelujah. And then we want to send you the DVD that we're here for you. Now, that was important to the Musgrove family, that this ministry is established to pray all the time. I mean, there's prayer going forth in this thing, if need be, 24 hours a day. And so we're here for you. We got three great conventions this year. The West Coast Believers Convention, June the 30th through July the 5th. This year's in Long Beach, California. Oh, I tell you, the new facility, Gloria, is it is marvelous in our eyes. It's a work of the Lord.
Isn't that the first place in Long Beach, we ever had a convention?
Yeah, we started there in Long Beach. And this is really going to be good. You got to be in these conventions. Southwest Believers Convention, August the 4th through the 9th here in Fort Worth. Then the Great Lakes Believers Convention, August the 18th through the 23rd in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now, the Lord has said that 2008 is the year of the fullness of blessing without measure.
Oh, hallelujah. I believe it.
These conventions are going to be just that.
Praise you could go to every one of them. I'm going to go to all of them.
We're going to all of them. You can go to all of them, man. Praise God. We'll see you there, and we'll see you all the rest of this week. This is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. If you became a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries today, remember to request your free new partner package online at kcm.org. You may also call our toll-free number or write Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. This is the year of the fullness of blessing, and together we can make a difference. Take the time to intentionally immerse yourself in God's Word and allow it to transform your life. Dive in at the 2008 Branson Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for 3 days of soaking in God's Word, March 6th to the 8th at the new location of Faith Life Church, 3701 State Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri. Visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
I want to say to Kenneth and Gloria, thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for enduring all the persecution and preaching the Word of God. Thanks to that, I learned the true Word of God. And I wasn't taught back in Russia. We were taught atheism, and I didn't know anything. So I got to learn it as it is, true, with healings, with miracles, signs, wonders, with prosperity. I can tell how grateful I am. I'm so grateful for your teachings. That's why I'm partner.